שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים אלינו, אנחנו כאן עם חיים חדשים, סדרת התוכניות עם הרב דוקטור מיכאל לייטמן, שלום לך, הרב לייטמן.
שלום לכולם.
שלום יעלה שדראל.
שלום.
מספר התוכנית שלנו היום הוא 1328, ואנחנו נשוחח עם הרב לייטמן על מעמדות. אנחנו חיים בחברה שיש בה מעמדות בכל דבר ועניין, ננסה להבין איך אפשר ליצור את היחסים הכי טובים, ממש יחסים בריאים, בתוך חברה שיש בה...
Healthy relations in a society in which there are classes. Those watching us on Facebook can ask questions online. We'll at least try to ask some of your questions. Yeah, please. So there are always differences between people. There are those that are richer, those that are poorer, those that have more, those that have less, those that are considered more. There are classes in society. There's the higher class, there's the lower class, there's the middle class, and we see it at work too. We have the managers and we have simple workers. The social structure, in every social structure, eventually there is a kind of hierarchy that grades us. Whoever is at the top usually feels great. Those at the bottom don't feel that great. Feel that they're worthless. Those at the top have more means to influence the entire system. Those at the bottom sometimes feel like a small screw that you can do anything you want with. That's the reality that we live in, and we'd like to find out today, how's it possible in this structure of classes to have a better life, that everyone will feel good, that there will be good relations between the classes. And before we delve into how to feel good in this system, I'd like to ask, is hierarchy a natural structure? Definitely. And that's how it was and is and will be. But the thing is, do we need to agree to it or not? And is it something that was given to us from nature? And we see that, yes, everything's given to us from nature in a way that no one's similar to anyone else. No one's like anyone else. So we already see that there's hierarchy. Another thing is that no one's equal to anyone else, neither in wisdom, nor in power, nor in luck, nor in anything. We can't even count all these differences and the points, different points between us, but we always look for what is the difference between us and how am I more or less than others. And this is what our entire life's about, because we measure ourselves against each other. We compare ourselves to each other. So what do you do? The solution's simple, and the wisdom of Kabbalah explains this in a very direct way. It says, if together you're engaged in something that you build in common, then in this common thing that you build, there's no one who's bigger or someone who's smaller. Because then you're all included in that one together in a way that no one feels that he is any less than others. And only in this way can we be equal to each other, completely equal. Completely equal meaning what? Of course we're different. Of course each of us is engaged and different types of work, is born with different traits. And of course, we can't say that we're equal in anything. No such thing. But if you do work together and you want to reach a common goal, then in whatever you build, when you're included together, you will feel that you are completely equal to each other. So to start with a study case in society, I think that we all feel it. Let's take an organization, some company, in which there is a hierarchy. There are senior managers, there are junior managers, there are simple workers, there are those that are senior workers that usually have more rights or privileges than those that came to the company 2 days ago. There are big differences between the managers and the ordinary workers, usually managers. They also have different status symbols in the company, like a car that the company gave them, they have a special chair, they have a room of their own, an office, compared to other workers where you have several workers in a room, they don't have a car, they have simple chairs. The organization makes sure that those that deserve it have status symbols to understand where are they in the hierarchy. And naturally, they also take decisions that have much greater responsibility than an ordinary worker or employee has or does. They have different conditions. They're valued differently in the company. They're paid differently. Of course, a manager is much more appreciated than some simple, I don't know, cleaning worker, someone who's lower in hierarchy in the organization. Now, in this entire situation, we'd like to understand, how do we have a good society with healthy relations? What would you advise such an organization to do so that there will be good relations between the different classes? What do you do? I don't think that there's much that can be done here. Because there will always be these and those. But what we need to search for is, in what case do they need to feel themselves equal? Doing what work? Making what actions? What can they feel them equal in? And this could be only on condition that they work together in a way that the one can't complete the work without the other, that they're interdependent. And then what creates the dependence? The goal can't be achieved by anyone without the participation of the others. So, the first principle is that there needs to be dependence between everyone, so that, in short, everyone will need everyone. It can't be that someone will be redundant, dispensable. Okay, so dependence, what else would you advise this organization? That it is possible to come to the implementation of their goal only on account that everyone understands that this dependence provides them with equality. So they need to work. There needs to be some kind of educational process in the organization that everyone will feel that even those that are at the top will feel that everyone's equal and those at the bottom will feel the same. How do you do that? Very simple. You give them a goal that they can't achieve unless they work in a way, unless they work in partnership. And they all need to understand that, suppose, unless 1,000 people do, if even one person out of 1,000 doesn't do his work properly, no one can complete the work. Even today in an organization, a manager is very dependent on his workers because usually he's measured for the work that they do. Now, if they won't be good enough at their work, at their jobs, and won't invest enough efforts, he'll be the one blamed eventually. Now, there is dependence, but the manager still feels that he's not equal to his workers, that he's more. Sure, but I'm not talking about the work itself. I'm talking about the end of the work, its completion, that no one can complete the work, meaning no one gets paid, gets no privileges, gets nothing. But everyone either completes the work perfectly, or they don't complete it at all. And how does that manager that makes more money, has better condition? No, that's not important. How will he feel that he's equal to the last worker? he doesn't get his, like the simple worker won't get his. Both come home with nothing. What does such a person feel on the inside? What changes? He understands that he is dependent on everyone. Dependent on everyone. This dependence is a kind of key that you talk about, that if really people feel that they're interdependent, then there is something that changes in their relations. They need to feel how each of them is now concerned with the other, for everyone to be healthy, for everyone to do the work, to understand what do they need to do. In short, there's really the creation of a different work atmosphere. Increase Rob's volume. Okay, what will cause a worker who feels that he's on the bottom line, he's making less, and the work that he does, it's not as prestigious as some managers, or doesn't matter, because the work depends on him too, and everyone's dependent on him, even someone who does simple work. What needs to change in their relationship, because that's how it is in workplaces today too? Eventually you're dependent on everyone, but it's not felt that way. What are we missing today for us to feel, for us to understand how all of us are dependent on each other, and that if the one does not complete his work day successfully, it means that not he, but everyone did not succeed in that day. So this one option, you're saying that no one gets rewarded until everything's ready, until everyone completes everything. So naturally, I have no choice. It's like in the army, we'll help each other. Are there more other things that can cause people to feel the dependence in an organization, for example? It also depends, if so, then on the measure to which the organization is concerned with how interdependent, interconnected we are, understanding that there has to be reciprocity, mutuality between everyone. And then, if they have such a feeling, then of course they will succeed. How do you make it, create it? I'll give an example. Suppose usually when we talk about statuses, a person likes feeling that he is of a higher status, higher class. Suppose I work in such an organization and I'm from the lower class, the guard at the entrance to the building. There are thousands of employees. You're a big manager. She's a big manager. And I'm the guard at the entrance to the building. How do you, when you come in the morning and you go to the office and you go home in the evening, how can you give me a feeling that I'm valuable, that I'm indispensable, that I'm important? I don't want to take your role, your position. I feel good where I am. And I'm not asking you to pay me more. It's not about that. How do I feel? Look how I look at you. You, from the higher status, don't look at me like I'm air. What does it depend on? You, from the higher status, can do, what can you do so I, from the lower status, will feel good? That I'm valuable, that I'm not a zero. What can you do? We need to understand that you are doing very important work. First of all, you're protecting us. You make sure that anyone who comes in properly, on time, that everyone will understand that this special building where everyone's engaged in very important work, and we expect very important results from the work, of course, not in money, but in terms of the importance of the work that they do. And it's felt how you treat everyone, and that you're at the entrance, you let everyone feel it, how important they are, and that they're coming in order to realize the connection between them. That's the main thing. What do you mean by realizing the connection? Because that's the main work that needs to be done, that we have to implement, to realize our connection, and this way we can, only in this way can we reach a state where everyone will feel that they have the same part in achieving the goal, regardless of the salary that a person gets. But what it's dependent on is taking everyone into consideration, etc. That's beautiful, because I asked you, what do you from the higher status need to do in order to give me a feeling that I have value? And when you answered, you suddenly turned things my way. You said, Hugh, at the entrance, need to give everyone this kind of feeling. I felt that I have to fill them with this inner charge. Of course, you're at the entrance. What you said, it's very important, because the way you welcome them, pass them in from the entrance to the elevator, suppose, it is really dependent on you. What will their mood, with what mood are they going into work with, that they'll feel our importance of their importance of being together, and you give everyone that same mood and uplifted spirits, a mood of connection. If I start taking what you said seriously, and I will really try to relate to everyone this way, it doesn't matter who comes in. Doesn't matter. It could be the CEO, it could be a secretary. Doesn't matter whatsoever. Were you to measure the extent by which you influence their output in the work by it, you'd see how great you are. And not that you're a CEO who goes into his room, shuts the door, and falls asleep in his chair till the end of the day, but that you really greet them toward this upcoming work day till the end of the day. So there's my place where I'm responsible to give a good attitude to anyone who comes in, and also to see how important my role is. This is my part. This is, what is the part of others and the organization? Does it depend only on me or their attitude too? You need to give a good, positive attitude, a new atmosphere of connection between everyone that will elevate everyone, that will give everyone inner air, energy. This is everyone's commitment to everyone else. I'm imagining an organization like you're describing, that everyone comes with the spirit of work, regardless of who that is. I already feel that this organization has some kind of good energy, that it's felt that this is something that can really help. How do you create that atmosphere in an organization? Today I have a different organization. How do I educate the organization to reach this kind of state? This is what you're... For this, you already need to take me to that organization too, as an employee, and that I will be engaged. The first, what would be the first action that you do? That, for sure, twice a week at least, I would give everyone a general talk about the importance of our work, about how important everyone is, about how we need to connect more, etc., etc. This one thing. Another thing is how, through our connection, do we make, build our work and its outcomes, and how much by that all of us can benefit together. I'd show them different graphs about how each influences everyone else, starting with the cleaning lady and the electrician and everyone, including everyone, like from the lower positions, not, you know, not the glamorous jobs, and up to the higher positions. I'd actually, in that, reach a state where everyone's important. You don't have someone who's more or less important, and everyone's interdependent, and that there are managers, and that there are those that are less than them. This is a matter of proficiency, something that you need to learn how to do, but it is not a result of your participation in the general work. What do you mean by participation? First of all, that everyone wants to help everyone else, because otherwise we won't have the right result. So that's nice, because what you're saying is that if you hired me to work in your organization, you gave me a certain job, you need to do this and this. But when I asked you, what's the participation, you don't talk about my role at all. Not at all. But about how can I help others? The measure to which you warm them up to be together and shaping this kind of work. If you, as a CEO or a manager of a company, would measure your workers for this parameter of how much do they participate, and only their participation, that's it. Everything else will already be as a result, because they'll have uplifted spirits, they'll have strength, they'll participate. It in and of itself does plenty in order for us to succeed. And that's beautiful, because you're saying that today there are many bonuses given in organizations according to, you know, if you meet certain goals, expectations. It is the complete opposite. And therefore, all the work, I don't know how they do it today, but those that work in high tech. But it seems to me that they're going the opposite way. That's exactly my next question. How would you define a healthy approach to classes or statuses in an organization? A healthy approach is in that every status, every class in an organization needs to be a friend to all others in the organization, and we need to learn how to implement this role. How would you define a friend? That it's something that's beyond the different positions, statuses, roles, salaries, and everything. But how to say this? If everywhere in the organization, then there's someone who's more and someone who's less, then we need to understand that there's also the matter of a circle here. Being what? You know, circles and lines, that's how we're built. That in our relations and our attitude toward each other, we are in a circle. And the highest manager, you know, the biggest manager, the CEO, can talk to a cleaning lady as do friends. Heart to heart? Heart to heart, really so. They can talk as best friends. So you're separating the relations between people and the professional structure. Professional is because he studied, he likes his work, he wants it. But according to our attitude toward each other, that we eventually make this produce, we're all equal and we all participate. I also wouldn't, you know, give salaries. What then? in my future vision, everyone gets the same. Okay, so another question about what goes on now. How to feel valuable in whatever role or position you have? Suppose I'm a cleaning person or that I'm the janitor. How can I feel that I'm valuable? You're working in an organization in which everyone treats everyone in a good, nice, and friendly way, that everyone tries to have a smile. Well, those that like smiling, those that don't. But that eventually everyone tries. But I'm at the bottom of the bottom. Yeah, you're at the bottom how? I mean, tomorrow you can bring another 100 cleaning ladies instead of me, 100 electricians. Every person can be replaced. Doesn't matter. Every person. It's not important. And a cleaning lady can sometimes be more important and hard to replace than a manager. So I, myself, that I'm the cleaning person or the electrician, how do I feel that I'm important? Because you feel it from everyone. That everyone respects you. That's beautiful because there are two sides to this. On the one side, you said that I have to respect everyone and feel that my role is important. On the other hand, you're saying that everyone has to give me the same. At home, you have a woman that's both a cleaning lady and she arranges everything and cooks and cleans and does everything. But what? She is the boss. She is the master of the castle because she cares for everyone. So please, care for everyone, that everyone together with you will do the work and will reach a good result. So again, you're bringing me back to my responsibility. It starts in my head. Of course. There's nothing else to it. Even though our time's up, one last question. You said that the guard at the entrance, when he greets everyone, when he welcomes them, he needs to greet them toward the upcoming day. What is that greeting? Smile. A smile that he expects for them to have, wishes for them to have a good and uplifted spirit so that they feel how it comes out of him. This first and foremost, he who needs to be at the gate, he needs to open the heart so that they will enter the place through his heart. Really so. And that they will enter through his heart. This is how he arranges himself. And everyone, regardless of the mood that they come with, this is how they need to come in. Like through a gate that peels all shells off them, and they come in with a good, nice, and warm, open heart. Beautiful, Dr. Leitman. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, our time's up.
Good.
What can we do? Let's hope that sometime we'll have such businesses. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Amen. Thank you, Yael. Thanks for being with us. Till next time, all the best.